Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Psalm 9 as we look at this wonderful psalm. A psalm written by David. Muthlaben simply means die for the son. Die for the son. It was a difficult time in David's life. As we read this psalm, you realize that his enemies abound. And sometimes, because of the wrath and the dominance of the enemies, and no help seems to come, and the attacks did not abate, it increases in intensity. It is perhaps very natural to feel very alone, to feel forgotten. This was how David felt for the moment. And he penned this psalm for our encouragement as the Lord delivered him out of this plight of feeling forgotten. It is a terrible, terrible feeling when all your friends whom you thought that you were part of were invited to a gathering and you have been deliberately missed out. And then you came to know of this gathering and everyone was there except you. And you thought that the person who has organized this gathering was one of your best friends. It hurts. It hurts also when your brothers and sisters forget you. Everyone is invited to celebrate Dad's dinner, his birthday just round the corner, and you are deliberately omitted because of a misunderstanding that you had last week. It hurts even deeper because we are family. What about God? You know you are God's child. You know that you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, at times when you struggle, when you face the many vicissitudes of this world, you feel alone. Your wife cannot understand you. Your wife might be the cause of the difficulty, perhaps. Your husband doesn't understand you. He might be the cause of that difficulty. Nobody understands you and you feel so alone. And sometimes with problems in the workplace, with problems in the home, the problems abound and you feel so overwhelmed. And then you might even ask yourself, where is God? Has God forgotten me? What has happened to my fellowship, my walk with the Lord? David felt this way. In verse 1 and verse 2 of Psalm 9, David gives us the thrust and the theme. Because at the end, he realized that the Lord had not forgotten him. The Lord had remembered him very, very dearly. The Lord allows certain things to go through our life for a season of time that we may learn precious lessons. That our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ may be deepened and strengthened in the process. Nothing happens to God's children by chance. Because our God is sovereign. And we must believe that all things will work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His purpose. There are no mistakes in the life of the children of God. And so David can tell us right from the very onset how he had experienced and how he had successfully gone through his trial of being forgotten. Or that's how he felt. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all Thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in Thee. I will sing praise to Thy name, O Thou Most High. There are so many things you could sing praise to the Lord. There are so many things you could rejoice and praise the Lord for. But in this particular context, it was the fact that he had realized and he had experiential knowledge that the Lord had never forgotten him, not even for one moment, even though sometimes he might have felt that the Lord had forgotten him. It's only a feeling. It's not a fact. And so he can honestly share with us, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I thank God from the depths of all my being. How wonderful God is. How wonderful God has been to me. Now we know that David had gone through many, many sorrows in life. Some of these sorrows are so painful that you and I cannot imagine. To have one of your own sons rape your daughter, his own daughter. Half-brother, half-sister. And then you have your own son kick you out of the kingdom, trying to kill you and destroy you. and to have inside your army a general who will always do things for his own self-interest, and as long as his self-interest parallels that of David's interest, he will obey King David. But he will take matters into your own hands. If it involves murder, he will murder. Before David became king, his life was not a cakewalk. The king of Israel wanted to kill him, even though he had no desire to hurt King Saul. But King Saul hunted him down like a fugitive. His years on earth were not easy, to say the least. Far, far more difficult than any one of us could ever imagine. To rule a kingdom was difficult enough. To have your own son, to have that many family problems, it was very difficult. And in this respect, he says that when the enemies came after me, when I felt as if I was all alone, that the Lord had not remembered David, had not remembered me, his son, he understood that it was a mistake. Because he realized from verse 3 to verse 7 how he shared with us that the Lord rebuked the enemies in his time. The Lord rebuked and the Lord will push the enemies back. The enemies are allowed to hurt and hinder God's people and God's work up to the point in time whereby the people of God will gain in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, where their faith and trust in God has been strengthened and deepened. And then when God says they have learned the lesson, now it's time for the heathen, for the enemies of my children to be pushed away. God will deal with them in his time. We must not be impatient. Whatever the trial might be, remember, you struggle not against flesh and blood. You may be facing a problem in your workplace. It is not the people. It is not flesh and blood. It is spiritual. You have problems at home. You have family problems. We all have problems. We all have family problems. All of us, without exception. It's the different kind of family problems. That's all. Work problems, study problems. We all have problems. The world is full of problems. But always remember, your Heavenly Father is always near you. When you have learned your lesson, the Lord will push all your enemies away. When my enemies, David says, when my enemies, okay, his personal enemies, are turned back. When they are turned back. He knew it was only a matter of time. It's not if. If means maybe, maybe not. When. But we must be patient. We must endure. And during the process, it's not enjoyable. It's painful and sometimes it hurts. The Lord knows that, but it's good for us. All the stress and strain will help us realize in our own heart that we believe in God, not only in good times, but we know in our heart that we believe in God even in times of adversities. How many of us can truly say that in our own lives, that it is based upon this kind of experience that I have learned to draw closer to God in ways that I knew that I could never, never have. I know I can never draw close to God if my life is always a bed of roses without thorns. I'm always healthy. There are no problems in my life. You can so easily say, oh, I believe in God. Who will not believe in God when your life is good, when you're healthy and wealthy? Who cannot believe in a God when you are feeling this way? That was exactly what Satan said to God about Job, didn't he? Sure, Job will honor you, Lord. You bless him with all these things. You take these things away from him. Let's see whether he will still believe in you. They took everything away from him. They took away his wealth. They took away his children. And they took away his health. And at the end of Job's life, what did he say? I thought I knew God, but now I have seen God. God wants us to see him. That's why the journey of pain and difficulty and suffering is the way for growth. No other way. Thank God for what FEBC had endured. How many of us have gained in our prayer life? How many of us have seen the hand of God and had our faith strengthened when we see the hand of God leading the college one step at a time? David had this experience, and that's why he says, when my enemies are turned back, it will come. The enemies will turn back for this battle, and then there will be a time of peace, and then a new battle will come. And then the enemies will come again, and now another time for us to grow to the next level of our faith. And then there will be a pushing away of the enemies, where they will retreat, where they will be driven away by God, and they shall fall, and they will perish at the presence of the Lord. And then a new set will come. And all these will continue until the Lord says, it's time for my servant to come home. He has served long enough. It is now time for him to return to the Lord. And the Lord will receive you, and all your works will follow you. That's the Lord's promise. This is how we must look at our life on earth. Sometimes you feel lonely. But remember, that's a feeling, that's not a fact. And the Bible tells us, the Lord will rebuild the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. How true, isn't it? Do you remember many of the enemies against David? If they were not recorded in the Bible, we won't even remember them. All the enemies of God, they are destroyed. They are gone forever. God will just simply erase their name forever. In eternity, you will be remembered by God. In eternity, all the enemies of God will be soon forgotten. God will just simply erase them. That's our problem, isn't it? We can't remember many things. And yet it is a good thing to forget bad things. But we all want to be remembered. God says these enemies will be forgotten. They may be very strong and they may be very powerful at this point in time. They may have their day in the sun for the moment, and their name will put fear across nations when they are in power. But very soon, when it is God's time to remove them, they will be permanently forgotten. Do you know what was the name of the Pharaoh who hindered the work of God in stopping Israel from leaving? Do you know the name of the Assyrian king who was destroyed by the Lord when they surrounded Jerusalem? Many of these heathen kings, if they are not recorded in the Bible, they're recorded in their own history, but they'll soon be forgotten for all eternity, God says. All these will end up in hell, those who hinder the work of God, and they will be forgotten. But never, never you. The Lord will never forget his own. The enemies attacking you, they will be dealt with by God. God will deliver them, push them away, and God will destroy them permanently, forever. Even their name will not be remembered. That's how thorough the removal of your enemies, the enemies of God's children. Now you make sure that they are your enemies. That means you are on the side of righteousness. You have not done anything wrong to deserve this kind of chastisement from the Lord. If you have sinned and the chastisement comes, this psalm is not yours to claim. David examined his own heart. He was innocent. These enemies were unjust. They had no case against him, and despite all that, they hindered him. They want to hurt him and kill him. You have to make sure that that is true in your own heart. If it is your fault because of your own laziness, your own sin, then you have to repent and you have to come back to the Lord yourself. But in this particular instance, David searched his own heart, and he was very sure that it was the enemies who were the culprits. Verse 6, O thou enemy. Now he switched his focus. In verse 4 and verse 5, his focus was what the Lord will do to his enemies. And in verse 6, he turned it around and he said, O thou enemies, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, and their memorial is perished with them. What they did is described for us by David. These are the enemies. It could not be Goliath. It must have been some enemies of David that were so horrendous that David had to describe them in this manner. They destroyed cities. They were powerful. David mentioned them on purpose to justify that I am not in the wrong. They are in the wrong. And he says, but the Lord shall endure forever. He has prepared his throne for judgment. The Lord's timing will be perfect. It will be perfect when the sin of the enemies of God's people are full, and when your faith has been strengthened and deepened in the process. When these two come to pass, you can trust in the Lord to intervene, and he will ensure that he will deal with them. He is always on the throne. He is always in control. It may appear as out of control in your life because the enemies continue to grow stronger and stronger. They continue to dominate. They continue to gain more and more ground. They continue to have the stronger voice, the loudest voice. And sometimes it can be very disheartening and intimidating. And you feel as if there is no one on earth who help you, and you know that the only one who can help you is the Lord Himself, and you know that you have to look up and you cannot look just horizontal. And that is the best. That's exactly what God wants His children to experience. But you have to know the Lord never forgets His own, because He will rebuke your enemies in His time. The key phrase is in His time. You have to wait patiently. The trial of FEBC is not over. It's in phases. It had been going on for years, hasn't it? It's not just snap of your finger and everything disappears. Some trials we have to face for the rest of our lives. Some trials may be for a few years, some may be for a few months, some may be for a few moments. But they are trials nonetheless. But the longer they are, the more difficult they are in our lives, isn't it? But you must always remember the Lord is near. He will deal with them in His time. The second assurance that we know the Lord has never forgotten His own is found in verse 8 to verse 14, and it is the fact that the Lord will remember. The Lord remembers always means the Lord will take certain actions in your own life to take care of you, to deliver you. Whenever the word remember is used and the Lord is the subject of that verb, that means God is about to do something. When Israel cried in the land of bondage, when the Bible says the Lord remember Israel, it's not that the Lord has ever forgotten. It simply means the Lord will now take action. And the action was He called Moses, and then He put Moses into Egypt, and then Moses did the 10 plagues, and then God used Moses to bring them out of Israel so that they will stop crying because of the persecution they encountered through the Egyptians. The Lord knew. The Lord will take action in your life, in His time. Not only will He drive away the enemies, the Lord will take action in your life personally to shape you, to mold you, to help you, to guide you, to care for you. Not just pushing away the enemies, but He will turn His attention toward you. And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. You see? You turn to Him, He will be there to protect you, to be your cover, to be there to ensure that you will not be hurt in the face. You will be hurt physically, don't forget that. You're going to feel pain. All these you have to understand. The Lord's protection does not equal Superman kind of protection without kryptonite. Always remember this. The Lord's protection must be understood according to the scriptures. Don't say the Lord did not protect men like William Tyndale. He was captured, he was burned at the stake. You cannot say the Lord did not protect him. Please don't think that the Lord's protection over God's people always equals thrown into the lion's den, the lion's mouth are always shut. There were hundreds, if not thousands, who were thrown into the lion's den who did not experience what old Daniel experienced. They were eaten up by lions. Many of them were crucified and burned alive. Please understand the Lord's refuge, the Lord's protection is one of spiritual. He will make sure that your faith will not be shaken or destroyed. You have to trust Him. You have to always lean on Him. You have always got to turn to Him and hold on to His promises. Hold on to the Lord. He will always be your refuge. Even when all men fail you, the Lord will not fail you. You make sure that your faith is deep and strong, because that's where the real battle lies. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You see, you have to seek, you have to trust, you have to go to the Lord and not lean on your own strength or wisdom or on anything that is on this earth. You cannot replace God. God is irreplaceable. If you do, you're going to pay the price. You cannot replace Him. Don't replace Him. Don't replace Him, David, with your army. Don't replace Him with all your counselors. Don't replace Him with anyone. Always lean on the Lord. Always. And He will never fail you. Young people, when you are out in the world, your faith will be tested for real. One of the things that we as parents are most concerned for is the faith of our children. When they are under our roof, they obey us, they listen to us. And we know as parents that the real test is not when they are living with us under our roof, because they care, they listen. When we tell them this, we tell them that, we give curfew, they obey, they listen, they come home on time. But we know that the moment they are thrust into the working world, when they have to fend for themselves, when they have to stand on their own 2 feet, it's between them and the world. Will our children turn to the Lord? Will our children hold on to the Lord? Will our children be a victim, or will they be victorious? That is always the prayer of parents for children. That's our prayers. We do not know whether our 3 children, the 2 girls and our son, will be faithful in the days to come. Only the Lord knows. We can only do our utmost, and we pray that when they are thrust into the world all on their own, will they be holy? Will they have the fear of God in their hearts? Will they remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ all the days of their lives till the Lord returns? This is our hope. This is our strongest desire for our children, that they will not become a victim of the wiles of the devil, that they will honor the Lord by their life of love and service. We pray that they will understand that the Lord will never forsake them. But will they seek Him? Will they trust Him? That is always the key. And we as parents, we can only show them by example, isn't it? By our trust and by our seeking of the Lord constantly, consistently, all the days of our lives, come what may. They can take away our house, they can take away our car, they can take away our freedom, they can even take away our lives. But we will always seek the Lord, and we will always trust Him. Because the Lord must be to me everything. And if the Lord is to me everything, and since I have the Lord, I have everything, they can take away everything else and I will lose nothing. True? Very simple formula. They can take away all the gadgets, they can take away all the clothes, they can take away all the money, all the bank accounts, they can take away everything. And they mean nothing because I have the Lord. And this must be our conviction. And we pray that this is the conviction of our children, that they will always seek the Lord no matter what, that they will always put their trust in the Lord no matter what. Because the Lord will remember personally, the Lord will be there for them, help them, lift them up, undergird them, protect them, and watch over them. No matter where they are, no matter how far they may have strayed away, if they are God's children, the Lord will draw them back. The Lord has promised us He will chastise those whom He loves. If you are a child of God and you have strayed away, you have not sought Him and you have not trusted in Him and you have gone wayward, come back to the Lord. That's the only way. Don't allow Satan to have sway over your spiritual well-being by feeding you with all kinds of false teaching, false notion. Straighten it through the study of God's Word to know that the Lord is always there for you. He is a faithful God. He cannot lie. He never tells lies. You can trust Him. He always remembers you. He will always be there for you. Sing praises to the Lord which dwell in Zion. Declare among the people His doings. Sing praises. That's one of the best. And sing from your heart, because you've experienced it. The hymns that we sing week after week should continue to be sung day after day. Not just on Sunday we sing, but there must be a hymn, a song in our hearts all the time, because we have God with us. Life on earth is so wonderful when you are walking right with the Lord, isn't it? So wonderful when your life is close to the Lord. Don't let that be taken away from you. And declare among the people His doings, not your own. What the Lord has done in your life, what the Lord has done in the life of your loved ones, by His grace and His mercy. How thrilling and how wonderful a life that we can have on this earth as children of the living God, to know that God is there for us and with us all the days of our lives. When He maketh inquisition for blood, He remembereth them, for He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. He will always remember us when He comes to judge, when He comes to dish out His justice. Those who have murdered, God will deal with them. Those who have lied and cheated, God will deal with them. God will deal with all those who are His enemies, who refuse to repent. But we who are His children, God says, you come back to me. Don't let your pride stand in the way. He will not forget the cry of the humble. He will lift you up. He will pick you up. He will always be there for you. Turn back to Him. Hold on, even if the whole world will not turn to Him, you must turn back to the Lord. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. To come to church week after week, to praise the Lord and to thank God for His mercy. Mercy means punishment I deserve, God did not give to me. God has been merciful. God has given you health, has He not? God has given you life, has He not? There are so many things we can thank God for. How is your walk with the Lord? Are you close to the Lord? Do you feel as if God has forgotten you? Have you gone wayward and strayed far away from the Lord because of your love for the world? Because you are so consumed by the forces of the world, by the things of the world, and they have a grip over your heart, whereby you half serve God and half serve mammon. God says, you can't serve both. You either love God and hate mammon, or you love mammon and you hate God. You cannot have both, because God is a jealous God. You cannot have both. God and mammon, they are not compatible. They are at odds. You love mammon, fine. Go and love mammon with all your heart, soul, strength and mind. But bear in mind the consequences. You're going to ruin your life and the lives of the people around you. You do not live your life anymore your way. That's what the Bible teaches us. For two reasons at least. Your members are the members of Christ, 1 Corinthians 6 tells us. That means your hands and your feet are supposed to be the tool for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Lord to use to do His will and His work on this earth. He is seated in God's right hand. Your members, they belong to Christ. That's the first reason. The second, you are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit. And therefore you are no more your own to do whatever you want. And that's why when God says you go through trials and difficulties because I want to strengthen your faith, don't forget that the Lord always remembers you. He always will. He has always been so merciful. He has always been there to lift us up from the gates of death, to take care of us. Sometimes trials and difficulties can be overwhelming and you feel as if, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I feel so overwhelmed. It's not a nice feeling to be taken to court. It's not a nice feeling to be called up by the police, the investigating officer. Can you come? Of course, they ask, when they say, can you come, it's not whether you can or cannot, means you come. To be called up there, you don't know what to expect. The first time in your life, you never realize that in the ministry, you have to call up to the police to be interrogated. And on top of that, you have all your other assignments going on. You have your family, you have your ministry. There are so many things that go on, and they do not get lighter when all these problems are added on. It is so natural, as it were, to cry to the Lord, Lord, I can't take it anymore. I want to go home. I want to come home. Enough. Very tired, Lord. Please. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. David felt that way too. It's normal. When you want to serve the Lord, you can rest assured you're going to be overwhelmed by a lot of things to do. And times like this, you think God doesn't know that you're going through times like this? David went through. But the Lord lifted him up. He was near the gates of death, but he did not go through the gates of death. He was still alive, and he learned from it. And then he says, that I may show forth all thy praises in the gates. I want to tell the people, tell the world how good God is, how wonderful God has been in my life. Can you say that, Christian? Can you say that to someone that is dear to you? Can you say that to your colleague who is outside Christ? By the way that you live, by the way that you relate with God, and God relates with you. Can you truly say what David is saying? That I may show forth all thy praises, tell the world about how good God is in my life. You can't if you're far away from God. You can't if you think that God has forsaken you and forgotten you. Come back to the Lord. Don't let your life be a life of waywardness. Let's put a stop to it from henceforth. Come back to the Lord in prayer, in humble repentance. God tells us, I will not forget the cry of the humble. Don't let your pride stop you. It is so easy. It's just simple, humble confession of sin and come back to the Lord. It's as simple as that, as straightforward as that, and you can do it right now. And then you will rejoice in your salvation. Salvation, not so much the salvation if you are born again salvation, but the salvation from this problem, this struggle, this waywardness that you are enduring, that you are going through. That this feeling of being forgotten, from the enemies who continue to come and abound and hurt you, hinder you. This salvation, a particular localized problem, salvation, deliverance. God can. And you can tell people how God has helped you, has saved you, and delivered you. If only you would humble yourself and come back to the Lord. Because He has never forgotten you. Seek Him, trust Him. Don't forget Him. And then finally, from verse 15 to verse 20, He will execute judgment. He will rebuke. He remembers His own. He now will execute judgment. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. They will plot, they will plan, they will undermine, they will put hindrances of the hindrances, they will put snares of the snares, they will do all sorts, they will dig pits hoping that you will fall into them, they will try to lure you, and some of these will be figurative. They will be literal. Like Haman, building the gallows to hang Mordecai. Instead, he found himself hanging on that gallows. They will try and they will continue to fail. Because your God is sovereign. If they can succeed, it means that your God has ceased to be sovereign. And God will never, never not be sovereign, isn't He? He is always all-powerful. These enemies will plot and plan in the cover of darkness. All they want, they will have money, they will have power, they have all the influence, they will have the majority all on their side. Don't be afraid. God will turn everything around and they're going to fall into their own pit, they're going to fall into their own snares. Whatever they try to do, they are going to hurt themselves in the end. God has given us this assurance. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executed. He is famous for doing this. God is famous throughout the Bible, how He will turn even the wrath of man to praise Him, to do His will, in other words. Don't be afraid of your enemies. They are spiritual. Don't even be afraid of Satan or anyone when you are close to God. No one can hurt you or harm you without your Heavenly Father's permission. The Lord has never forgotten you. Don't forget Him. He will deal with them. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. He guide on simply means meditation. Pause and consider. Selah is to pause. Meditate and pause. He guide on to meditate. Selah is to pause. Ponder who God is in your life. Do you really know Him? Are you truly born again as a child of God? If you are, then you must know God, that He is all powerful. He cares for you. He will not hurt you or allow anything to harm you that will not turn out for your good. If you have strayed away from Him, He will send chastisement to cane you so that you will experience pain, that you may stop sinning and come back to the Lord. If you are a child of God and you have not done anything wrong, like in the case of Job, it is for the strengthening and the building up of your faith. Is it so wrong to defend the Bible that is perfect? Sometimes we doubt. We ask ourselves, is it really correct to believe that the Bible is perfect? The doctrine of preservation in the early days of the struggles. Because the temptation was, if you stop teaching this, all your problems will disappear immediately. That's what we have been told. So the temptation, the seduction was very real. We encourage one another. It is true. It cannot be wrong, Jeff. That's what we talk to one another in his room, in his office. How can it be wrong to believe what the Bible tells us, that His Word is perfect, God inspired, God preserved? Don't doubt, don't be shaken. Hold on, no matter what. We must trust the Lord to see us through, no matter how difficult the journey might be right now. With all the misunderstanding, with all the trials and all the burdens, upon burdens upon burdens. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God, God will deal with them. God will turn them and God will send them all to hell. Those who attack God, those who undermine the Lord, You don't take vengeance into your own hands. You guard your heart and do not allow bitterness and anything personal to eat you up and to destroy your walk with the Lord. Guard yourself, because the moment you see that it is not flesh and blood, then you see these people in flesh and blood, you don't get upset with them, because the battle is spiritual. You don't have this bitterness and angry feeling against anyone. Please. Because the moment you do that, you can't pray, you can't worship, you can't do anything for the Lord, because you regard iniquity in your heart. Remember that. God will deal with them. They will not escape the judgment of God. God has given us this promise. The Lord is known by His judgment which He executed. He is famous for not letting sinners get away from Him, right? He is famous for that. It's well known throughout scriptures, throughout eternity. So rest assured, they will not get away with their sin, their wickedness. Even if they die on this earth, it appears they have gotten away. It's only the law of man they have gotten away, but not the judgment of God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. Sometimes we may feel as if we are forgotten. Sometimes the needy will remain in need. But God says, you will never be forever. It will come a point in time where I will supply that which you need. Not your want, your need. God will give you what you need best, so that you will not forget Him. He will give you exactly, precisely what you need. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Synonymous parallelism. It will not be forgotten. God will remember and God will provide. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. O Lord, come and help. Come and lift me up and help me, that the world may know that they are but men, and you are the only one living and true God. And your faith and your trust in Him, and by the way that you live, they must see this powerful God in your life. The question is, can they? Can they see this powerful God by the way that you live? By the way that you trust Him? By the way that you handle yourself in school? By the way that you react to trials and difficulties in your workplace? Can you? Can they see the holiness of God? Can they see the power of God in your life? They're supposed to. That's what we are as Christians. The Lord has never forgotten you. Don't forget Him. He will deal with your enemies in His time. He always remembers you. All you need to do is to trust Him and to seek Him, and He will be there for you. He will be there to give you the peace, to lift you up in His time. And He will execute judgment against those who are your enemies. You just leave it to Him. You make sure you do not take matters into your own hands. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Don't take matters and do something sinful or hurtful. No bitterness, no anger, no malice, please, in your heart. Guard your heart, dear friends. Guard it well. Because your life can be such a wonderful life. When people look at your life, they don't see you anymore. They can see God. They can see Christ. You know how tremendous and how powerful this simple life of ours, by our obedience to the Word of God, by prayer, people don't see us anymore. They see Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God Almighty Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth. And your life, this small little life of ours, wherever you are, whoever you are, God says, if you are truly born again, this life can be used by the Lord to point people to God. And that's your life. The question is, are you living that life as a child of God? If you are not born again, then repent and be a Christian right this moment. But if you are truly born again, why are they not seeing the life of Christ by the way that you live? They should, they must, because that's the power of God at work in your life. And that's what your life and my life is supposed to do. And so when trials come, when difficulties come, you think God has forgotten. God never will. Your life means so much to Him. You are the members of Christ. Christ can use your body, and He will use your hands and your feet, use your mouth, use you for His glory. Is that not the greatest honor and privilege that God has bestowed upon sinners such as ourselves? That is weak, frail, more often than not, incompetent with all the idiosyncrasies kind of life in us. And God says, even this life, this life, this weak hands, this life God can use for His glory to turn a sinner into a saint? God says yes. And that's your life, husbands and wives. Mend your relationship. Love one another the way that the Lord had intended for you. You have children, children honor your parents, parents do not provoke your children. Let your family life, let your life, every area of your life, bring glory to the Lord, because that is your lot. That is your privilege and honor bestowed upon you by your Heavenly Father. What a wonderful life. Is your life a wonderful life? Let us pray. Our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, that You always remember us. For even when we were Your enemies, Thou hast sent forth Thy only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's cross for our sins. Help us, O Lord, to cling on to this experience that David shared with us in Psalm 9. How the Lord always remember His own. He will never forget us. For He in His time will rebuke our enemies. And He will deal with us accordingly. When we humble ourselves to seek Him and to trust Him, He will be there to lift us up, to undergird us, to help us, to nurture us, to care for us. And He will judge the enemies of God's people. Help us, therefore, not to have bitterness or anger or resentment in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee. But help us, Father, to know what an honor and a privilege it is that we can tell the world that we know Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior, even in the darkest hour of our lives. Humble us that we may turn back unto the Lord and to know that He always remembers us. Will we remember Him? Help us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.